All right. So again, we're on 1 John chapter 5. Tonight we'll be studying verses 15 through 17. But just to keep it in context, why don't we start reading at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. And He will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Now, if you remember from last week, verse 14, we talked about the confidence that we have, or the assurance that we have in God, knowing that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Remember that it's not all about our desires and wants and those convertible cars that we desire and want, or the big house on the hill, or it's not about material possessions. We know that all those one day are going to what? They're going to burn, right? But we ask according to His will. And again, His will is that we be obedient to Him, that we keep His commands, that we love Him, that we love each other sincerely. Not just profess that we love God, not just profess that we love each other, but sincerely in the heart, that with everything that we have, we love God. That we are taking up our cross and following Him, willing to lay down our own lives for our Savior. Do we love God that much? Is He our everything? So, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Okay, let's look at verse 15 then. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And we do know that He hears us if we ask what? According to His will. Right? According to His will. Previous verse. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." Let me say that again. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Now, why would He be far from the wicked, but hear the prayer of the righteous? Because the prayer of the righteous is going to be that is asking according to the will of God. The righteous person is going to be praying things that would be uplifting to himself, such as, God, give me wisdom. Help me to understand Your Word. Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Help me. Lord, I'm having a problem of being faithful and reading Your Bible every day. God, help me. Give me that desire to read Your Bible every day. Help me to love You. Help me to truly love my brothers and sisters. Help me to not be selfish. Help me to not care about only me. All these things are praying according to His will. And those should be the prayers of a righteous. Those should be our prayers. So whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Petition in the Greek is a request or a thing asked or an asking. Okay. Now certainly, as always, we can look to somebody as an example, right? And who is our perfect example that we can always look to in every circumstance? Christ Jesus, right? Okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, we should all know this here, okay? Matthew chapter 6. Anyone know it? Starting in verse 9. What is this text of verses called? Say that?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, let's read. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now Christ had just finished talking about, he said, don't be like the hypocrites do when they pray. They go out standing on the street corners and pray so that everyone can see them. Oh, look at that guy. He's out there praying. Man, he must be a godly man. Okay? He's just drawing all this attention to himself. And Jesus is saying here, don't be like that guy. Same thing with fasting. He's saying, don't go and mark yourself so that everyone knows that you're fasting. All right? Read the previous verses when you get home to study that, okay? So he says, in this manner pray, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, before we go any further, I want to stop and say that he is not saying that you must pray this prayer every time you pray, okay? Because what are the dangers of that? It just becomes vain repetitions, right? Which reminds us of another religion, you know, that we all know of, okay? Because when they're vain repetitions, we can just pray them, memorize them, but they mean nothing to us. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us our, you know, it means nothing to us. So he's given us an example, if you will, an outline of things that we should be praying about. Okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. If you remember last week, we gave the example of Jesus praying when he knew he was about to be crucified, when his time, you know, the purpose for which he came was at hand. And he was praying with his disciples, right? And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's any way that I don't have to suffer all this pain, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So again, here he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, being God, knows that God's will is always done. Always done. Okay? Give us today our daily bread. Things that we know we can be praying for. God, you know, Is he not going to give us food? What does he say about giving us food? Does he not even take care of the sparrows that they have food? He's going to provide for us and give us clothing and food and shelter, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Okay? It is also important to know what is in the Bible, to find out what His will is and what is pleasing to Him. Okay? So when we are praying, when we are asking of God according to His will, it's important to know the Bible. Okay? It's important to know the Bible. Ephesians 5:10 says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Well, where are we going to find out what is acceptable to the Lord? Are we going to find it out in the world what is acceptable to the Lord? No. The world might try and give you some guidelines. Hey, you know, this is acceptable. I'm sure this is pleasing to God. But guess what? They're not going to have the answers to what is pleasing to the Lord. Only in the Bible can we find out what is pleasing to the Lord. And so if we want to know what's pleasing to the Lord, and we want to know what we should be praying for, we should know the Word of God. We should be studying it, finding out what is pleasing to the Lord, thus knowing what we can be praying for, what we ought to be praying for. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so what does this verse tell us here? He's saying, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if we do not understand what the will of the Lord is, we are unwise. And showing that, hey, we're not picking up our Bibles. Because it's very clear what the will of God is for us. Very clear. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the will of God for us. Okay? It's not groundbreaking news. It's no some new revelation. But here it is. That you obey Him. That you keep His word. That you love Him. That you love each other. That's the will of God for you and for me. And so if we know what the will of God is, then we know what to pray for. Then we know what petition. Then we know what request to make. You understand what I'm getting at here? So it's important to know our Bibles. If we know that He hears us, being believers, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So understand what the will of the Lord is. And you know what to ask for in prayer. Okay? Verse, turn back to our text. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. And I do not say that he should pray about that. Now remember, he's talking about prayer here in context, okay? So here is something that we are assured of. We know that He will hear us, okay? If anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, okay? A sin not leading to death. This here is referring to Christians, saints, children of God, whom He has made alive, to which we know that He will lose none. Okay? So, this verse can be a little confusing here. Kind of a tongue twister. And it's one of those verses that really takes a lot of time to study and find out what they're saying here. Okay? So, let's read this again slowly together. If anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. Okay? So, think about this. If we see a brother, fellow Christian, sinning a sin, or just sinning, which does not lead to death, he will ask. So what do you think he's getting at here? Anyone want to take a shot at it? Sammy, you're smiling. What do you think?
Nothing.
Okay. John?
He's talking about asking in prayer.
Okay, yes. Bingo, okay? So if I see a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, I will ask, okay? Which means prayer, okay? So again, this was referring to a brother here, okay? I'm going to read a quote here from Calvin. says this. What then is the meaning of the apostle? He denies that sins are mortal, which though worthy of death, are yet not thus punished by God. He therefore does not estimate sins in themselves, but forms a judgment of them according to the paternal kindness of God, which pardons the guilt, where yet the fault is. In short, God does not give order to death, those whom he has restored to life, though it depends not on them that they are not alienated from life. Okay? So here's what I want you to understand here. If anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, okay? What in the world is a sin that does not lead to death? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, right? So we're all kind of confused. What is John saying here? What does he mean when he says, I see a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death? Okay? Now, let's ask ourselves. All of us in here are what? Sinners. Every single man and woman is a sinner. Okay? Let's think about whom God has chosen to save. He has brought them from darkness, from death, to life. Okay? We know that we're born sinners. We're enslaved to our sin, Romans says, right? And Ephesians. But Christ, in His mercy and grace, has freed us, praise be to God, has freed us from being slaves of sin. Okay? He has made us alive. He has qualified us to be His sons, to be in His family. Okay? I know this might be confusing. I'm getting to my point. Okay? He has taken us from death to life. So in life now, are we perfect? Do we never sin again while we're here in these bodies? Are we perfect in this life, even though we're now Christians and children of God? Do we not sin anymore? We do. Every single day that we wake up, guess what? It's a battle. We struggle with sin. Okay? But being children of God, being that He chose us from the foundations of the earth to be saved, to be His child of God, He's made us alive for these people, for those whom He has given life. There is sin not leading to death, because being that He made us alive, He's going to convict us when we sin. And so we cry out to Him, God, forgive me of my sin. We get back up and we stay on that narrow road. Thus, it is a sin not leading to death. You guys kind of understand that? It's a little confusing, I know. But we can get this, okay? So now, anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, and it does not lead to death because He has made us alive and He will keep us. Jesus says, to all that the Father has given me, I will lose none. In John 6, I will lose none, but I will raise him up on the last day. So to all that God has given Jesus, Jesus says, I will lose none. Those whom you have given me, God, I will keep. They are mine. I'm not going to kick anyone out. They're mine. I'm going to raise them up on the last day. But yet, even those people whom God has given to Christ for salvation, they still will sin. But the hope for them is that in their sin, being a new person now, they're all of a sudden convicted of their sin. They're grieved when they sin because they know that they just grieved a holy God who has saved them. And so they repent of their sins. They make it right. Thus, it's a sin which does not lead to death. Okay? Raise your hand if you understand. I know it's really confused. That's okay. Okay? Let's move on now. Okay? If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. Okay? That is, generally spoken, in respect to God, to supplicate, to pray for. So John got it right. To ask means to pray. Okay, in this context, in the Greek, it means to pray. So when I see a brother or sister who's sinning, okay, what am I to do? Make a supplication to God. Pray to God for that brother or sister. And then obviously there's steps that we must follow in Matthew 18. But first thing is, if we know of one of our dear brothers and sisters in sin, we should be on our knees praying for them, petitioning God, right? For our brother, right? He will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. Okay? So we see a brother or sister in sin, and we pray for this brother or sister. And God will give that person life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. Okay? So listen, that takes us back to 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions with what we have asked of Him. Okay? God, my brother or sister is sinning. Give them life. Restore them. Convict them. And because they are His, He will. That's where we can have confidence in God, knowing that He will keep our brother. He will keep our sister. Thus, a thing that we can have confidence in praying for. So then, on the flip side now, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Before we move on to that, 1 Peter 1:23, knowing that there is a sin not leading to death and he will keep us. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. See, we know, and this is just a tremendous verse that assures us that we are his because we have been born of a seed that is not corruptible, and that's of God. We've been born again of a seed that is incorruptible, cannot be touched. We are His. We will forever be His. Okay? Thus, there's a sin not leading to death. Okay? I'll continue. 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he never sins? It means he doesn't live a lifestyle of sin. He doesn't continue in the sin. For those of you who weren't here during that, I'll give the illustration that I used. Okay, let's say we have an alcoholic. We'll just use this as an illustration. Okay, we have two people. Okay, one person is he's an alcoholic. He's drunk every night, and he's not convicted by that. Okay, that's what he is. Then you have someone else who claims to be a Christian and gets plastered one night. He gets drunk. Okay? But yet he's deeply convicted by this because he knows that the Bible says, do not be drunk on wine. Do not let anything control your mind or control your body. And so he's grieved over this. And because God has made him a new person, he's convicted of the sin and he cries out to God and asks for forgiveness. And so he does not continue in that sin, whereas the alcoholic is continuing in that sin. Okay? So everyone understand that? Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What a verse. Just like the one in 1 Peter. Listen to this. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you can lose your salvation. This verse is all the verse we need that shows that you cannot. That because you've been born of God, God's seed remains in you. And you cannot lose it. What an assuring verse that is. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay? The Christian is going to sin. But because he truly is a Christian, he has been begotten by God, he's going to confess his sins, repent of his sins. And it's now a sin that is not leading to death. Okay? Now I'll continue. There is a sin leading to death. In the New Testament, this sense is applied with more definitiveness to the gospel plan of salvation. And as the Greek word zoe is used to denote the bliss and glory of the kingdom of God, including the idea of a joyful resurrection, so the Greek word tathaneos, which is used here for the opposite, i.e. rejection from the kingdom of God. This includes the idea of physical death as aggravated by eternal condemnation. The idea of physical death being sometimes more prominent and sometimes that of subsequent perdition. So possibly physical death or spiritual death. Okay? There is a sin that leads to death. Mark 3:29. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Again, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. But again, let us not also forget what we have learned in John's writings here. What was the very thing that he's fighting against here? The Gnostics, right? Teaching that Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. It just appeared as if he had a physical body. Okay? So here you have these Gnostics, these false teachers, these antichrists trying to teach this. That Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. Because if he did, his flesh would be sinful and evil. So it just looked like he had a physical body. And so they're teaching this. They're trying to spread this around. And what do we know that John says about this? 1 John 2:23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And the idea here is the deity of Christ. And also that he did come in the flesh. And so if we deny that Jesus did come in the flesh, where is our hope? Then we're calling God a liar, that his word is not true. And we know that his testimony, his witness is true concerning his Son. So in my mind, this ultimately leads to death. When you're denying the testimony of God concerning his Son. That Jesus did come to earth, fully man, fully God, in the flesh, and he suffered and died for our sins. If we deny that, we deny the Father. Thus leading to death. Spiritual death. Also possibly physically death. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Now, hear this. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. Who gives us our very next breath? God. And at any time, he can withhold your next breath. Such is the case in Ananias. He breathed his last. Bloop, he dropped. He was dead. Okay? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. Now, I don't know, you know, if this is something that would happen, you know. It could, you know. It's obviously what happened here. They were lying. And they breathed their last. They had immediately physical death. Also spiritual death. Because you know they were going to face their judgment. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30 says this. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, this is talking about how when we take communion and we're remembering our Lord and Savior. Okay? For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, what does sleep refer to? Anyone want to take a shot at that? They're dead. Yes. Okay. So, we're looking at both spiritual death and possibly physical death. Sin leading to death. Okay. Again, I want to read a quote, read a paragraph here from Calvin. There is a sin unto death. I have already said that the sin to which there is no hope of pardon left is thus called. But it may be asked what this is, for it must be very atrocious, when God thus so severely punishes it. It may be gathered from this context that it is not, as they say, a partial fall or a transgression of a single commandment, but apostasy, by which men wholly alienate themselves from God. For the apostle afterwards adds that the children of God do not sin, that is, that they do not forsake God, and wholly surrender themselves to Satan to be his slaves. Such a defection, it is no wonder that it is mortal. For God never thus deprives his own people of the grace of the Spirit, but they ever retain some spark of true religion. They must then be reprobate and given up to destruction, who thus fall away so as to have no fear of God. Were anyone to ask, Whether the door of salvation is closed against their repentance, the answer is obvious. That as they are given up to reprobate mind and are destitute of the Holy Spirit, they cannot do anything else than with obstinate minds become worse and worse and add sins to sins. Moreover, as the sin and blasphemy against the Spirit ever brings with it a defection of this kind, there is no doubt but that here is pointed out. Pretty powerful words there, if you ask me. So we know here, and he even says here at the end of this verse, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and will give him life for those who have committed sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. So he's almost saying as if you don't even pray for that person. Because we know that he's blaspheming. He's an apostate. And here we know he's denying that Jesus came in the flesh. He's an antichrist. Whereas I pray for the church, for my family, because I know I'm assured of that. Now he is not saying that never pray for such a person. We can pray for false teachers or antichrist. We don't know what's going to happen to them, because it's clear that there is a sin leading to death. And if they're preaching that which is contrary to the Word of God, they're antichrists. We know what their destination ultimately will be. Verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. There is hope then and assurance here in praying for a brother and for ourselves. Knowing that every sin is not deadly for believers because of the promise of the forgiveness of sins, if it is truly confessed. All unrighteousness is sin. Right? To him who knows what to do and does not do it, what is it? It is sin. That's what the Bible tells us. To him who knows what he ought to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We know what the Lord requires of us. We know what he commands. We're listening? We know what he commands. All unrighteousness is sin. But there's hope in that for those who are truly his. And there is sin not leading to death. Because the true child of God will truly be grieved over his sin. Did you hear me? Listen, the true child of God will be grieved over his sin. If we're not grieved over our sin, there is a problem. A huge problem. But if we're grieved over our sin, knowing that we've just sinned against God Almighty, the one who gives me my next breath, to which he could very well take from me. And not just grieved because knowing that he can withhold my next breath, but because of what he's done for me. He's given me life. I was in darkness. I had no hope. I was enslaved to my sin, and he gave me life. He freed me. He's given me hope. He has given me light. And because of that, now I'm grieved when I sin against him. And so the true child of God grieves over his sin and cries out to God for forgiveness and repents and strives to not do it again. And so there is a sin not leading to death. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name alone is awesome and is to be feared and fills the earth. Even your name tells of your glory and your might and your power and your goodness. You are worthy of all praise, of all honor. Lord, help us in everything that we do, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words. Let them tell of your glory. Let them tell of your might and power. Let them show of your salvation. Let us truly be that light in this dark world. Let people see the hope that is within us. Let people see our good deeds and glorify you. And we are thankful, Father, that when we read your word, knowing that we are going to stumble, we are going to slip and fall, we are going to sin against you, but your Spirit will convict us and will grieve us. And we can cry out to you for forgiveness. And your word says that you are just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. And knowing now that that sin is not going to lead us to death, because you will keep us. You have made us alive. Your seed is in us and it will remain in us. We are your children and you will forever keep us. And we will forever worship you for all of eternity. And we thank you, Father. We thank you that it is not up to us. Because if it was up to us, we would fail every single time. Because we are wretched sinners deserving of death. But in your grace and mercy, you keep us. And you will lift us up on that day. And so we thank you, Father. And it's in your Son's Jesus' name that we can pray. Amen.